agnostics and quite a few atheists. If I was to try and look amongst my friends, family, and colleagues for people who believed there was a God, I'd probably be looking amongst the older, and, to be perfectly frank, less well-educated ones. There are one or two exceptions. I nearly put by habit honourable exceptions, but I don't really think that. American Atheists. How often have fans, friends, or co-workers tried to save you from atheism? Douglas. Absolutely never. We just don't have that kind of fundamentalism in England. Well, maybe that's not absolutely true, but, and I'm going to be horribly arrogant here, I guess I just tend not to come across such people, just as I tend not to come across people who watch daytime soaps or read the National Enquirer. And how do you usually respond? I wouldn't bother. American Atheists. Have you faced any obstacles in your professional life because of your atheism? Bigotry against atheists? And how did you handle it? How often does this happen? Douglas. Not even remotely. It's an inconceivable idea. American Atheists. There are quite a few light-hearted references to God and religion in your books. Quote, 2,000 years after some guy got nailed to a tree, end quote. How has your atheism influenced your writing? Where, in which characters or situations, are your personal religious thoughts most accurately reflected? Douglas. I am fascinated by religion. That's a completely different thing from believing in it. It has had such an incalculably huge effect on human affairs. What is it? What does it represent? Why have we invented it? How does it keep going? What will become of it? I love to keep poking and prodding at it. I've thought about it so much over the years that that fascination is bound to spill over into my writing. American Atheists. What message would you like to send to your atheist fans? Douglas. Hello. How are you? From The American Atheist, Volume 37, Number 1. What are the benefits of speaking to your fans via email? It's quicker, easier, and involves less licking. Predicting the future. Trying to predict the future is a mug's game, but increasingly it's a game we all have to play, because the world is changing so fast, and we need to have some idea of what the future's actually going to be like, because we're going to have to live there, probably next week. Oddly, the industry, which is the primary engine of this incredible pace of change, the computer industry, turns out to be rather bad at predicting the future itself. There are two things in particular that it failed to foresee. One was the coming of the Internet, which, in astonishingly short time, has become what the computer industry is now all about. The other was the fact that the century would end. So, as we stand on the brink of a new millennium, peering up at the shiny cliff face of change that confronts us, like Kubrick's apes gibbering in front